The message this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And this is what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This is the word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. May He bless the reading of it and the preaching of it to you this morning. Right here at the beginning of 1 Peter, he begins with a doxology. He is writing to Christians who live in a hostile culture, and he wants to encourage them. He encourages them by writing to them about salvation. And writing about salvation elicits this doxology. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. One way to live victoriously in a hostile world is to be thankful and to praise God. And what do we have to be thankful for and to praise God for? Salvation. Salvation is such a magnificent thing that it cannot be described by just one word or one image. Salvation is a multifaceted thing that is portrayed by lots of words and lots of images in the Scriptures. Several aspects of this thing we call salvation are mentioned here in these verses in 1 Peter chapter 1. We talked about one aspect of it last week, election. There are other elements of salvation also. There is election, predestination, calling, regeneration, repentance, faith, justification, sanctification, glorification. We may preach or talk about any one of those things and call it salvation. And that is okay, because it is hard to explain all of the aspects of salvation at one time with one word. Peter is emphasizing regeneration here in this passage. And regeneration is the new birth by the Holy Spirit. One of the results of regeneration is here in verse 4. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. So I want to talk to you today about this inheritance that we obtain by the new birth. This message is going to be about living victoriously in this hostile world by looking forward to our inheritance. The first thing I want you to notice is this inheritance comes from God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ as the source of it. Verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." An inheritance is what someone who is an heir receives as a bequest. The heir is usually bequeathed his inheritance in a will. Senator William Andrews Clark of Montana amassed ownership of mines, banks, and railroads. He once owned the land that was developed to become Las Vegas. When he died, he passed this fortune on to his daughter, Huguette Clark. Her inheritance included massive estates in Connecticut, California, and on New York's Fifth Avenue. Her Fifth Avenue apartment was the largest one on that famous street and consisted of 42 rooms. It was the whole eighth floor of the building. It cost more than three times the amount of the original Yankee Stadium. Senator William Andrews Clark was no doubt a very wealthy man, able to leave his daughter a great inheritance. But what he was able to leave his daughter is no comparison to the inheritance that God gives to us who are Christians. The Bible says the cattle on a thousand hills belong to Him, which is just a way of saying that all of the cattle on all of the hills belong to Him. The earth and the fullness of it all belongs to Him. The nations are like a drop in a bucket to Him. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. He brings out the starry host of the heavens one by one and calls them by name. Because of His great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. And He has given us an inheritance. He owns it all. And He is the source of our inheritance. Secondly, this inheritance becomes ours by means of the new birth. Verse 3 and 4 says, "In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." The only way that you can become an heir of God is to become a child of God. Inheritance is for heirs. And heirs are normally children. You have to be a child of God to have an inheritance from God. And so God wonderfully, miraculously, supernaturally gives us life. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Unless you're born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. You're not going to inherit all that God has for His own." So Peter says, "Blessed be the God who has caused us to be born again, who has caused us to be born into His family, so that now I'm a child of God and an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ." Later on in this chapter, down in verse 23, Peter says, "This being born again is not of seed which is perishable, not like human birth, natural birth, but imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God." It is a spiritual birth that God produces in the sovereign act of regeneration through the Word of God. Verse 25 says, "The Word of God, which was preached to you." You heard the gospel. You believed the gospel. As you believed the gospel, God gave you new life, and you were born into His family. And so now you have a living hope. People who are not Christians don't have any hope for after this life. People who are not Christians do not possess this inheritance. But when you're born into the family of God, you have a living hope. You have a hope that never dies. A hope that is strengthened and empowered and reinforced by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Thirdly, this inheritance comes to us by God's mercy. Verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and to an inheritance." Why would God do this? The motive is stated here in the text. Who, according to His great mercy, it's not that we deserve it. It's not that we have earned it. It's that we desperately need it. Mercy is a term that applies in the in the category of misery. God gives us mercy by relieving the consequence of our sin, which is pure and undiluted misery. Mercy is needed by someone in a pitiful condition, someone in a helpless condition. In Matthew 17:15, a father came to Jesus and said this, "Lord, have mercy on my son." He said, "For he is a lunatic and very ill and is always falling in the fire and falling in the water." There is blind Bartimaeus in Jericho who in his blindness as a beggar cries out to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on me." "Have mercy on me" became a common expression the Jews used when they cried out to God out of distress, pain, suffering, grief, and misery. That word alone, eleos in the Greek, and its derivatives are used about 80 times in the New Testament because God is expressing Himself again and again as a God of mercy. And always when it's used, it refers to compassion and relief given to those whose condition has overpowered them and left them crushed in great need. With reference to God, it speaks of His divine compassion on the misery that sin has produced. Mercy goes to the misery produced by sin. And God is by nature a God of mercy. God is a God of tenderness, loving kindness, compassion, and sympathy. Micah 7:18 says, "He delights in mercy." Psalm 103:17 says, "The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. It is as eternal as He is eternal." Psalm 108:4 says, "God's mercy is far above the heavens. It is as infinite as He is infinite." 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "He is the Father of mercies." Lamentations 3 says, "His mercies are new every morning." It's as if they're replenished every day and undiminished even as He pours them out morning by morning. Titus 3:5 says, "He saved us according to His mercy." Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, has made us alive together with Christ." Why? "So that in the ages to come He might show us the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness." He extended mercy to us, Paul says, to show us His kindness in eternity. You're never going to experience full relief from misery in this life. You cannot experience the fullness of God's mercy here in this life. His mercies are new every morning. There is mercy in this life, but we don't even begin to comprehend the mercy of being completely and forever relieved from any misery. Fourthly, this inheritance is permanent in nature. Verse 4 says, "And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you." In the Old Testament, Israel had an inheritance, the land of Canaan. They took that earthly inheritance, the land of Canaan, and frequently Canaan was ravaged by invading enemy armies. Jerusalem itself was leveled to the ground numerous times by enemies. But our inheritance is a heavenly inheritance that cannot be plundered by any enemy. It is indestructible. It is also undefiled, unpolluted, unstained, and unfading. It will not fade away. Its nature is permanent. Our inheritance never loses its supernatural glory. It's not like verse 24, "The grass withers and the flowers fall." all the treasures and inheritances of this world will eventually decay and fade away. Our inheritance in heaven never fades, never has a defect, is never corrupted, never plundered. What is waiting for us in heaven is an unchanging, glorious, eternal life. Peter has one more truth regarding our inheritance. Its source is God, who is God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Its motive is mercy. Its means is regeneration. Its nature is permanent. And that leads to the security of our inheritance. The security of our inheritance. This inheritance is secured by God's power. Verse 5 says, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Somebody is always thinking along these lines. This inheritance may not tarnish, it may not decay, it may not wither, but can it be taken away and given to somebody else? There are Christians who believe that. Can it be taken away? Can we forfeit it? Could we possibly be disinherited? There are children who are so disappointing to their parents that their parents disinherit them. Can God disinherit us? Will He? The answer comes at the end of verse 4 and into verse 5. This inheritance is reserved in heaven for you. It is reserved in heaven for you in spite of your weakness and in spite of the struggle of this life. This unchanging inheritance is reserved in heaven for you. Safely in heaven, in the holy presence of God, not subject to any assault or any plunder. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for you, will not change His mind. And heaven will never be invaded, and none of its treasures will ever be plundered. What if we fall away and stop believing? Well, that's not going to happen because it says you are protected by the power of God through faith. God does not guard, protect, secure, and keep us apart from faith or whether we believe or not. But He keeps us through faith. And that is the very faith that He gave us when we were saved. You are saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That's what Ephesians 2 teaches. So your faith will endure because the faith that He gave you, that saved you, is an enduring faith. That's its character. This is what salvation is all about. It's all about what comes in the next life and what is secured to us. By the way, I mentioned earlier that salvation has many aspects, and sometimes we talk about one particular aspect of salvation and call it salvation because we call a part of it the whole. Verse 5 there is talking about the final aspect of salvation. There is a sense in which we are already fully saved. That is called justification. There's a sense in which we are being saved. That is called sanctification. It is an ongoing process. There is a sense in which we will be saved in the future. That is called glorification. Verse 5 is talking about that future sense of salvation when it says a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The final phase of our salvation will be revealed in the future at a time called the last time. The last time is a name for the beginning of the eternal state. We have an inheritance in eternity that is secure. Brian Chappell wrote a book entitled In the Grip of Grace. in which he told a story about a time when he took his family on vacation, and he had young kids. They walked on a nature trail and came to a tree that was identified as a limber pine. The guidebook said that the tree got its name from the unusual flexibility of its limbs. The branches are so limber that a person can tie a knot in them as though each limb were a thick strand of rope. The guidebook invited them to test this quality by tying a knot in one of the limbs themselves. Well, his children clamored for the opportunity to tie a knot in a limb. Unfortunately, the branches were higher than the children could reach, and the hundreds of nature walkers before them had already knotted every branch within adult reach. The only way his children could tie their knots was by letting him hold them as high as he could to first unknot each branch they wanted to tie. The children succeeded in unknotting the branches because they managed, with his help, to reach as high as those who had first tied the knots. Chapel said, "But imagine how difficult their task would have been if the knots had been made at the very top of the tree." And then he said, "Imagine how impossible their task would be if the knots were tied in heaven. A knot tied in heaven would be impossible for anyone to reach up and untie. It is just as impossible to lose our inheritance as it would be to untie a knot that God has tied in heaven. He will not change His mind, and nothing can reach up there and take it away from us. So you are a Christian. You live in a country that is hostile to your Christian faith. How do you deal with that? Stay faithful to Jesus Christ and look forward to your inheritance, because according to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time." Let's pray.